Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vedanta Limited First Quarter Financial Year 25-26 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Participants connected on the webcast link may change the quality settings to 1080p to watch the proceedings on the best quality. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh, Group Head, Investor Relations, Vedanta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vedanta Limited Q1 FY26 earnings call. On behalf of Team Vedanta, I thank you all for joining us today. I hope you had the chance to look at the press release, earnings presentation, and detailed financial statements uploaded on the website of stock exchanges and the company website. On this call, I have with me our Group CEO, Ms. Deshni Naidu, Mr. Arun Mishra, our Executive Director, Mr. Ajay Goel, our Group CFO, Mr. Rajiv Kumar, CEO, Aluminum Business, Mr. Anup Agarwal, CFO, Aluminum Business, and Mr. Hitesh Vaid, CFO, Oil and Gas Business. We will begin with an operational and strategic update by Ms. Naidu, followed by financial highlights by Mr. Ajay Agarwal. Thereafter, we will open the lines for Q&A. The call is covered by the cautionary statement provided in the results presentation. With this, I now hand over the call to Ms. Naidu. Over to you, Deshni.
Thank you so much, Charanjit. Good evening, everyone. It is a pleasure to address you all as we mark the close of the first quarter, FY26. We began the financial year amidst global uncertainty resulting from the implementation of the U.S. announced tariffs. In early April, we witnessed a sharp decline in the prices of key commodities, particularly the one relevant to us, aluminium, zinc, iron and steel, and oil and gas. Despite this backdrop, we delivered our strongest first quarter performance ever, setting a strong foundation for the year. During our last interaction in April, I spoke about a new chapter in Vedanta's journey, Vedanta 2.0, a forward-looking, value-driven roadmap designed to reinforce our leadership across critical minerals, energy, and technology, while ensuring sustainable long-term growth for all stakeholders. This progress made on this front includes the NCLT initiated hearing on the second motion petition for demerger. The NCLT bench held their first hearing on July 2nd. Given the paucity of time, the process could not be completed and the next hearing is scheduled for August 20th. This will take us a step closer to the final order. Augmentation of our strategic investment plan. In the first quarter, Hindustan Zinc's board approved the first phase of its expansion towards 2 million ton capacity. This phase will add 250,000 tons of capacity and is backed by a $1.4 billion investment, thereby enhancing our total capacity or total capital investment plan from $9.5 billion to $11 billion, of which $5.9 billion has already been spent as at June 2025. We secured two additional mining blocks of high-value critical minerals, thereby taking the total count of blocks assigned to 10 since the launch of India's critical minerals mission. These blocks are for nickel, chromium, cobalt, vanadium, manganese, tungsten, gold, and rare earth elements. Now we know that this journey on the Vedanta 2.0 roadmap isn't going to be without its challenges. But given our robust business model, strong governance framework, and transparent disclosures, we see ourselves well positioned to address any challenges that may come our way. Being a listed company, we are always open to market scrutiny. However, it is also our responsibility to call out any false narratives targeting us, guided by vested interests, such as the recent malicious propaganda by a short seller with an ulterior motive of profit booking at the cost of our long-term investors. I appreciate the wisdom of our key stakeholders who, despite the repeated attempts from the short seller to create panic among them, have remained unswayed. As you might be aware, we sought legal advice on the matter from the ex-Chief Justice of India, and his opinion is now shared publicly. Now, turning to our operational performance for the quarter, Vedanta has posted a robust performance despite a softer pricing environment. Revenue and EBITDA grew by 5 and 6% year-on-year, driven by stronger domestic demand. The EBITDA margin expanded by 81 basis points year-on-year to 35%, the highest in the last 13 quarters. ROCE improved to 25%, up 87 basis points year-on-year, enabled by record volumes across key segments and improved margins given the rigorous cost discipline. Let me now walk you through the various business segments. Starting with aluminium, we achieved a record quarterly alumina production of 587,000 tons, up 9% year-on-year, demonstrating progress towards delivering a guided volume of over 3 million tons in the current financial year. Our metal production reached 605,000 tons, and we recorded the lowest hot metal cost ex alumina in the last 16 quarters at $888 per ton. This is driven by the lowest ever power cost at $491 per ton, supported by a record PLF of 89% at our captive facilities. These costs are sustainable over the coming quarters, except quarter two, given the planned maintenance of power generation facilities during the quarter. Our Zinc India operations delivered its highest ever quarter mined metal production of 265,000 tons and the lowest ever first quarter cost at $1,010 per ton. The share of value-added products reached 24%, demonstrating progress towards our strategic value-added plan. Shifting focus to our international operations, Zinc International delivered a strong performance as Humsa's production surged 74% year-on-year, backed by strong ore availability and mining ramp-up. Our oil and gas business faced a natural decline in the MDA fields. However, this was partially offset by the infill wells in Ashwarya, ABH, and satellite fields, particularly in the last 2 months of the quarter. Over the quarter, we recorded an average daily volume of 92,000 barrels per day and managed to reduce the OPEX by 11% quarter-on-quarter through optimized polymer and chemical use. Our power business recorded a robust 30.8% quarter-on-quarter volume growth, supported by the start of the 300-megawatt capacity at Meenakshi Power Plant and 90% availability at TSPL. In iron ore, we scaled up volumes at our Karnataka mines to their highest ever 1.7 wet metric tons, while our value-added business in Goa delivered its highest ever first quarter pig iron production of 213,000 tons. Operational enhancements like the new PCI mill and the coke drying system are setting us up for sustained efficiency. At ESL, we saw a marginal drop in production due to the furnace maintenance, which was offset by the increase in our iron ore output to 0.9 million tons. Margins ex mines are strong, improving by 11% quarter-on-quarter to $49 per ton. Finally, our SACO business delivered an exceptional growth, with ore production rising by 66% quarter-on-quarter and ferrochrome output by 150% quarter-on-quarter for the restart of the second furnace. At Vedanta, we are proud of delivering responsible growth with focus on all our stakeholders. In the first quarter, we recorded zero workplace fatalities. We are making steady progress towards our climate goals and have already signed a total renewable power delivery agreement of 1,900 megawatts. During the quarter, we impacted just over 2 million lives through initiatives in maternal health, nutrition, education, and skilling. Our flagship Nangar program, with over 8,600 centers across India is now transforming the lives of over 600,000 people. Looking ahead, our volume growth and margin expansion story will continue across all businesses. In aluminium, the commissioning of Lanjigarh Train 2 and the 435,000 ton per annum Balco smelter is targeted in the current quarter. The average alumina cost per ton is likely to decline further with improved reflection of our lower market prices and increased share of captive production. At Hindustan Zinc, we are targeting the commissioning of 160,000 ton per annum roaster at Debari and in the current quarter, thereby making us ready for the 1.2 plus million tons per annum refined metal production. Our Zinc International business is on course to complete the Khamsberg Phase 2 project in the second half of the current financial year, thereby increasing operational mine capacity of Zinc International to 525,000 tons per annum. In oil and gas, the current quarter is going to be action-driven. We are set to begin ASP injection, commence drilling on the West Coast, and launch exploration in the unconventional blocks. Additionally, we are evaluating drilling plans for deep water exploration in KG Basin. Our power business is set to add another 1,300 megawatts of new capacity in the second quarter. In July, we commissioned the 350 megawatt at Meenakshi, that's Unit 3, and the 600 megawatts at Athena, Unit 1. An additional 350 megawatts at Meenakshi, Unit 4, is planned for commissioning in August, while Athena Unit 2, with a capacity of 600 megawatts, is scheduled for commissioning in quarter 4 in the current financial year. I would like to conclude by stating that despite the uncertain macro environment, our first quarter performance has set us on track to achieve our FY26 guidance. At current commodity prices, we are well positioned to deliver our best performance. We are confident of creating sustainable, long-term value for all stakeholders while progressing our journey on the Vedanta 2.0 roadmap. Thank you. Ajay.
Thank you, Vishnu, and good evening, everyone. The new fiscal has commenced amidst a complex and evolving macroeconomic environment. The first quarter was defined by continued commodity price volatility and a recalibrating global landscape driven by evolving trade dynamics and geopolitical realignments. LME prices remained subdued, with most key commodities, barring silver, witnessing YOY declines. Despite these headwinds, I'm pleased to report that we have delivered our highest ever first quarter EBITDA of Rs. 10,746 crores, along with an 81 basis point YOY improvement in margins. This robust performance reflects the strength of our portfolio and was enabled by rigorous cost reductions through operational efficiencies, stronger market premiums supported by healthy domestic demand, and net favorable forex and other strategic levers. Our key businesses continued to demonstrate exceptional margin resilience. Aluminium at 50% and cane at 55%. Hindustan Zinc achieved its lowest ever first quarter cost of production, while aluminium reduced its hot metal cost down by 12% quarter on quarter, both remarkable operational milestones. Financial performance highlights. Let me now walk you through our Q1 financial results, which reflect the strength and consistency of our operations. Consolidated revenue at 37,404 crores, registering a solid 6% growth YOY. EBITDA came in at Rs. 10,746 crores, our highest ever for the first quarter, marking a 5% increase YOY. EBITDA margin expanded to 35%, the highest in the past 13 quarters, a clear indicator of operational excellence and cost discipline. Adjusted PAT rose to Rs. 5,000 crores, a strong 13% growth YOY, while reported PAT stood at 4,457 crores after factoring in certain one-off items. ROCE improved by 87 basis points YOY to 25%, sustaining our double-digit returns profile and reinforcing our focus on capital efficiency. With this strong start of the current year, we are well positioned to sustain momentum as we execute our strategic priorities. Now, turning to the balance sheet, we continue to operate from a position of strength and discipline. So as of June 2025, our net debt stood at 58,220 crores, representing a decline of rupees 3,100 crores YOY, supported by strong internal accruals and targeted capital actions. The net debt to EBITDA ratio improved to 1.3x from 1.5x last year, reflecting improved cash flow generation and capital management efficiency. We ended the quarter with a healthy liquidity of 22,137 crores, a 33% YOY and 7% quarter-on-quarter increase, providing us with ample headroom for investment and contingencies. Now, finally, staying true to our shareholder commitment, we declared a dividend of rupees 7 per share during the quarter. Moving on to capital actions and deleveraging. In line with our capital discipline agenda, we took several initiatives in the quarter, further strengthening our capital structure. We monetized 1.6% stake in Hindustan Zinc, raising more than rupees 3,000 crores in Q1. We also raised rupees 5,000 CR via NCDs and other loans at more favorable terms, a testament to the market's confidence in our trade strength. These initiatives has contributed to a 130 basis point improvement YOY in our borrowing cost, now reduced down to 9.2%. Together, these actions enhance financial agility, further our journey towards a leaner capital structure. Demerger update. Let me now update you on the progress of demerger. Deshni, though briefly covered that. The second motion petition has been formally submitted to NCLT and the next hearing is scheduled on 20th August after part hearing on 2nd July. Separately, the NCLAT has granted an interim stay on TSPL, our power demerger ordered by NCLT, with the next hearing scheduled on 4th August. We remain confident of a positive outcome in both forums and we continue to progress in line with our previously shared timelines. The execution of the demerger remains a top priority for Vedanta. On credit ratings, both CRISIL and ICRA have reaffirmed Vedanta's ratings at AA, reflecting strong institutional confidence in our governance practices, financial strength, and a long-term strategic outlook. In conclusion, to sum up, Q1 has been a quarter of strength, discipline, and strategic delivery. We delivered a record first quarter EBITDA, executed critical capital and deleveraging actions, sustained robust margins in the key businesses, announced much anticipated 2X growth project for Zinc India, and in July, we commissioned 950 megawatt of merchant power capacity at Meenakshi and Athena, both of which are now fully operational. As we look ahead, we continue to operate with clarity and conviction, undeterred by external attempt to shift the narrative. Together, we are building a stronger, future-ready Vedanta, Vedanta 2.0. Thank you. Now, over to operator for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Amit Lahoti from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on aluminium hot metal cost that has declined in Q1. So what are the drivers here in terms of power and other stuff? And can we expect more savings in coming quarters?
Thank you. Thank you, Amit. I will start and then hand over to Anup. So we delivered, as we mentioned, a COP of $1,765 per ton in quarter one, and that was a reduction of $247 per ton. So that's a 12% quarter on quarter. This is largely on account of the softened aluminum market prices, as well as the increase in captive mix, as we indicated with the Langegal increased volumes. So in quarter two, we're likely to see a marginal cost reduction, as I've also indicated. You know, although we have better reception of the lower aluminum prices, it will be balanced by higher power costs due to the planned maintenance activities we have at our power plants in Jharsuguda in particular. In the second half of the year, we do expect costs to be around the lower end of the already guided range. I'll hand over to you, Anup, to talk about some of the specifics we are doing in terms of cost reduction and containment across aluminium.
Thank you, Deshni. And Amit, see, if you see, you know, in H2, with the train to Langegal commissioning, you know, we will have improved captive mix. So that will take us our mix, which is at presently 50 to somewhere around 65 to 70%, point number one. Point number two, you would have seen last few quarters the work that has happened on the power and the coal front. And Deshni covered it, but for some planned maintenance, which was by design planned to set up for the H2, we are now close below $500. So with the improved Langegal mix, the alumina cost below 800, the power cost somewhere around 500, you can see we are now set for the hot metal cost sub 1700 as we go into the H2. And if you recall in our guidance also, in the year beginning, we had said that the hot metal cost for the year will be in the range of 1700 to 1750. Q1, we have done closer to 1765. Quarter 2, Deshni already alluded that because of the plant shutdown, we will be slightly higher or margin or flattened. But for the S2, we expect a very, very strong cost. And if you look at the LME today, and given the LMEs that we are having, you can see that at today's LME, probably we will have a margin of $1,100 or so as we go into the S2. So, Amit, hopefully I have answered your question. Thank you.
Yes, so just to follow up on this, specifically for alumina cost, as you mentioned in your opening remarks as well, could you quantify cost reduction that could come, one, from lower alumina prices, and second, cost reduction at Langegal, because it has gone up in the recent quarters to $370, $380. So can we see some reduction there as well at Langegal?
So I'll go. So, as you can see, you know, next two quarters, we expect a cost reduction of closer to $80 to $100. And you can assume that 60% of it is going to come through the captive alumina bauxite. And the balance is, of course, going to come from the softened market prices.
Okay. And lastly, if you could provide commissioning timelines for Sijimali bauxite mine as well as the coal mines.
Thank you, Amit. Maybe I will start and then hand over to Rajiv. So on Sijimali, we are targeting the EC by the end of this quarter, which means probably a start of production at the end of quarter four. In terms of overall bauxite mix, we are still factoring, as we've indicated previously, about a million to a million and a half tons of bauxite from Sijimali this year still. I'll hand over to you, Rajiv, to talk more and also the questions around coal mining timing.
Thank you, Deshni. Thank you, Amit. On Sijimali, we are going to get the FC1 clearance. That's the start, and then followed by EC clearances, followed by FC2 clearances. So that's the process of clearances. The FSC in Delhi happened yesterday, and we have to get the communication in the next few days. Hopefully, we are going to get the approvals. And then from there, I think, as Deshni said, in next 3 to 4 months, we should be over with all the approvals, and then we can start to go on to the mine. As far as coal is concerned, Purloi, we have an in-principle approval for FC1. And just few days back, we got a grant for the EC as well. FC2 is also being targeted by the end of the quarter. And as is the guidance, in the last quarter, in quarter three, we should be up and we should be ready to start Purloi. So that's the guidance, and we stick to the guidance. As far as Gogalpally is concerned, the mining plan has been approved. The TOR has been granted. Few days back, we got 300 acres, which is about 41% of the government land. And we are targeting the FC1 and the EC by the quarter four of this year. I hope I have answered you, Amit, related to the progress
okay.
of seeking money
yes.
for Purloi.
Thanks for elaborate answers. Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ankit Tikmani from SBI General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to know whether the MINA and EGA issue is resolved. If not, what is your bauxite sourcing plan?
Thank you for that. Ankit, I think I will hand over to Anup on the question, but if I understood you well, you're asked about EGA, right? So EGA's
right.
operations in Guinea still stand suspended, as there's no bauxite supply from EGA Guinea. I think maybe before I hand over for Anup to add anything further, I just want to maybe put the context around, you know, what is happening on from a overall bauxite and alumina point of view for the business. So as we guided, we are targeting 3 to 3.1 million tons of alumina production for the year. And you all would have seen that we've had a good start at Nanjangud in terms of 584,000 tons in the first quarter, which actually puts us in a very good position to meet that number. So we need just over 9 million tons of bauxite for the year. Around 5 million tons of that is coming from OMC and other domestic sources. 2.5 million tons from imports, and as Rajiv has just guided, another 1 to 1.5 million tons from Sekou Mali. So we are fully tied up for our bauxite commitments for the full year. I think I can leave it there, Anup.
I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for this. Yeah.
Thank you, Ankit.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Welekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, our guidance on oil and gas is between 95 to 100 KBOEPD. And in Q1, we have seen a 17% decline. So in that context, in the earlier call, we have said that we will see the oil and gas volume will have an upward trajectory from Q2 onwards. So are we on track for that? And given our efforts on exploration side, so if you can throw some guidance for in the medium term, so how those volumes will ramp up and how we will arrest the decline. So that's number one.
Thank you, Aditya. I will start and then hand over to Hitesh, our CFO from Cairn, who's on the line. So as you rightly said, FY26, we are targeting a range of 95 to 100,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. And just to remind everyone that we came very close to the guidance of last year as well. So there's maybe three things I want to mention before I hand over to Hitesh to talk about the specifics. So we want to manage the decline by about 15% from FY25 levels. There are three areas that we are targeting. The new wells that we drilled in FY25 will give us about 8,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. There's additional wells planned for this year that are already starting to, you know, to give us an uplift in barrels, and that's about 5,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. In addition, and I really want Hitesh to talk a lot about the AHT project. So we've been talking about AHT. We have started AHT injection in the cluster well pads in Mangla, and that's now targeted for August and September. So three things are happening. This is a decline that we've planned for. We have wells from last year that are giving us a delta of about 8,000. We have wells being drilled this year, 5,000, and we have our AHT project. So maybe, Hitesh, you can talk a little bit about the specifics as well as then answer the questions around further exploration and development projects that we are busy with.
Yeah. Thanks, Deshni.
So I think, you know, in terms of fashion, as Jason said, you know, we delivered 93,000 barrels per day for Q1. And if you look at over the last 6 months, we have managed to contain our decline. The rates are now around 3%-4%, you know, quarter-on-quarter. Two activities which have added, you know, in helping us to manage decline is, you know, continuously drilling infill wells in our prolific, you know, Rajasthan fields, as well as well intervention which we have done to recover, you know, volumes from wells which had gone down. Now, in addition, what we've also done is, during this course of time, we have managed to optimize our OpEx, which for the quarter was 15.1, which is substantially lower compared to previous quarters. This has been done by, you know, managing our polymer injection as well as chemicals in an efficient way. Now, for the full year, as you rightly said, our guidance is for 95-1,000 barrels per day. Now, the key levers will be to continue to drill infill wells in Rajasthan, which approximately will give us around 5,000 barrels per day. The other part is ASP, which Jason spoke about. Now, ASP project, we are set for injection in selective well pairing in the Mangala field. So in a couple of months, we will start injecting volumes on those fields. In around, say, 6 months' time, we expect volume gain. And once, you know, we are through with the full-field injection, probably in 3-4 quarters, we expect the additional gain of around 15,000 barrels per day from ASP injection in select Mangala fields. Now, beyond, you know, ASP, you know, looking into the future as well, especially from volume point of view, we are also starting appraisal and development of a DSF field, which is Ambia field, which is on the West Coast. Now, drilling in that field will start in October this year, and that is going to add around 18,000 barrels of oil equivalent in around 1.5 years' time. Now, what we will also be able to achieve this year is, you know, on our OpEx, which is going to be around $15-$16 per barrel. Looking at long-term, and especially on the exploration side, what we have started currently is drilling in Rajasthan, which has been our most prolific field. So we are working on international rig and targeting deeper prospects, tighter prospects, and we intend to drill 3-6 wells. The well has already spud a couple of days back. In the West Coast Kutch Basin, we also have an OALP block where we will spud in September 2025. The rig has been ordered, and it is in the process of being mobilized. In the Northeast, a couple of, you know, quarters back, we had a discovery, Rudra. So we are now set for appraisal of that discovery. So in the next 2 months, we'll try to spud 2-3 wells to figure out the potential of Rudra, as well as we have got a few more opportunities in the Northeast, which we will drill around Q3, Q4 of this year. And, you know, beyond this, in exploration, one of the larger, you know, plays in our books is KG Deepwater, where we recently acquired GSM data. Now, the data has given us some very positive indication on the potential, and we intend to target 3 wells early next year. So this is on the overall exploration plan. And thank you, and if you have any questions, we'll.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for that detailed explanation. My second question is on power division. So we have seen a good jump in this quarter, and if I can see for Meenakshi, the power realizations have stood at a very high level of 7.2 rupees per kilowatt-hour. So just wanted to understand on Meenakshi and Athena, what is the split between power purchase agreements and spot merchant sales? Because in Q1, we have seen that merchant tariffs have come down in the range of 3-4 rupees per kilowatt-hour. And in that context, Meenakshi's realization is quite high. So if you can throw some light on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aditya. Maybe just to recap, right? So Aditya, on Meenakshi, present, we have the 350 megawatts. And as we said, that we will, we've added another 350 megawatts. So Meenakshi, by the end of this quarter, or the end of quarter two, we'll have the full 1,000 megawatts power there. And then Athena, as we've guided, we've only commissioned the 600 megawatts. The remaining 600 megawatts will come at the end. So back to maybe performance and your point. Quarter one performance, 300 megawatts of Meenakshi capacity was operating, and the average generation cost was around 6 rupees rupees per unit and selling price was around 7 rupees per unit. So from quarter two onwards, right, Meenakshi operating capacity, as I said, 1,000 megawatts, estimated PLF around 50%. Cost is 5 rupees per unit and selling price will be between 550 rupees to 570 rupees per unit. On Athena, 600 megawatts, PLF will ramp up from 60%, around 80% in the year, and the cost is about 3.6 rupees per unit and selling price at 5 rupees per unit. So short-term PPAs are in place for the power sale.
Understood. So any percentage between short-term PPA and spot sales for both these plants?
It's all short-term PPAs at this moment, and we are trying to stabilize the plants at this point in time, and over a period of time, we will also enter into a long-term PPAs, which will be followed also by FSA.
Understood.
Yeah,
that's it from my side. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. So my first question was on, you know, some of the media reports stating that the Ministry of Petroleum had objections to the demerger. So what are the, you know, any, what are the grounds on which you know, the Ministry of Petroleum had certain objections? If you could specify that.
Thank you for that. I think we did give quite a detailed account of where we are in the overall demerger approval with reference to MOPNG. You know, firstly, there are key stakeholders for us in the in our oil and gas business. And in the last NCLT hearing, they did express concern about the payments of any of the disputed dues that may become payable by Cain. In case the ongoing arbitration rulings, as we've all learned now, comes in their favor. So we are working with them, as we do with all key stakeholders, and we are confident that we will come to a solution at the earliest possible time.
Okay. Also, you know, we had plans for expanding the aluminum capacity, I think, to about 3.1 million tons, and even the alumina debottlenecking, if I remember correctly, 6 million tons. So any timelines on that? Which part of those projects will be commissioned in FY26 and 27?
Yeah, so for now, these are debottlenecking exercises. As you know, the current capacity expansion, volume-wise, will take us to around the 2.8 million mark. And then in terms of the overall expansion from 5 to 6, 6 million tons per annum, I'll let Rajiv talk us through it. In terms of when that capacity will likely be brought in line, we are forecasting maybe the back end of FY27. But Rajiv, maybe you just want to add in terms of the work underway to reach those capacities.
So thank you, Deshni. You have summed it up nicely. The timeline should be 18 months that we are looking at. It is how do you increase the volume? It is done by improving the current carrying capacity of the pots. And we are looking at enhanced technology. It's called magnetic compensation loop. We are working on that technology to improve the capacity. But it will take about 18 months. First thing first, we have to achieve whatever we have planned for, and that's where the focus is, to reach to 2.8 to 2.85 million tons at both the places, at Balco as well as at Sarsuguda, and then take it on as far as the smelters are concerned. As far as Lanjigarh is concerned, we have a task cut out to reach 5 million. And once the 5 million tons is achieved, then we will look at debottlenecking the capacities, which we already have, right from logistics to evacuation, to also talk about port infrastructure. So it will be a through-and-through, as well as what we are doing in Lanjigarh is to improve the how to milk the assets that we have, and I think that's the way to go about as far as we are concerned.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Rajiv. And Palak, just to be clear, you also asked for some of the other project expansions?
Yeah, I think some of them...
Which is aluminium.
Yeah, I think some of the, you know, the mining projects that you'd outlined.
All right. Excellent. I think what I will do there is actually ask Arun Mishra to talk about the Hindustan Zinc expansion.
So, no, in the zinc, we are going for a 2 million ton expansion, of which, as we have reported after the last board meeting, 12,000 crore board approval that we have announced, which will add a capacity of 0.25 million ton. And now it will be followed up by further announcements till about September, so that we do the entire project approval for 2 million ton metal production. Of course, we did sufficient expansion of the mines, which are currently at 17 million ton ore production, to go up to 35 million ton ore production. This will also see a jump in silver production from currently 700 to 800 tons to about 1500 tons.
Thank you. And of course, we're also quite excited about the Humsworth Phase 2 project in Zing International. And that project is almost 80% complete. We're targeting mechanical completion by the end of December, as we previously guided, and hoping to ramp up thereafter in the last quarter of FY26. So that will add another 4 million tons run of mine. And currently, we're looking at just under 200,000 tons of zinc MIC every year. Thank you, Palak.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much. And lastly, you know, what could be the potential impact of you know, the U.S. tariffs on exports from India? What is the level of exposure that we have to the U.S. market?
Yeah, absolutely. Even in the last quarter, right, because in the last quarter, it was just after the announcement. And we basically said that, you know, as a business, given our majority commodity exposure in both zinc and aluminium, we're in a very fortunate business in terms of, you know, more than 75% of our zinc goes into India domestic market and 65% of aluminium goes into domestic market as well. And as it stands, we only have a, you know, 3% exposure in terms of our aluminium business into the U.S. So we still maintain the position of limited exposure, even with the current announced 50% steel and aluminium tariffs.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Palak.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jatin Damania from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. The question is more on the parent front, where we have significantly deleveraged the balance sheet, and for this financial year also we started with a good note. But coming to our next year, where we have a repayment of near about $700 million, so just wanted to know regarding the repayments, how are we going to, refinance that loan, or probably will be supporting by internal accruals someday?
Right. And Jatin, if I get you clearly, you mean Vedanta Limited or Vedanta Resources?
Vedanta Resources.
Okay. So first, you're right. I mean, the debt for Vedanta Resources over the last many years has been declining. So deleveraging is our big priority. So from 8.9 3 years ago down to 4.9. And as on June 30th, it is further down to 4.8 billion. So over the last 5 quarters, the VRL debt is lower by almost a billion. That journey will continue. And you may have noted the last year during the investor call, we announced that the VRL will deleverage 3 billion over the 3 years. That commitment remains unwavered. If I speak of the current fiscal, for the remainder of 9 months, the requirement for loan refinancing at VRL is almost 320 million and interest 450. Total about 770. So through a mix of refinancing and some dividend, which of course remains a board decision, it will be managed. Net-net VRL debt in the current fiscal will go down by half a billion, down to 4.3 odd billion. Now speaking of Vedanta Limited, which is the operating company, and here the right metric remains net debt to EBITDA, more so in a high growth environment. You may have seen our results. Our leverage is better off by debt to EBITDA is 1.3x vis-a-vis 1.5x at the last year same time. At Vedanta India, by the end of the fiscal, our leverage will further improve to 1x, where our profitability will be bigger than our debt. So VRL debt target is in value terms, 3 billion in 3 years, Vedanta India, 1x leverage by this current fiscal end.
Thank you for the detailed answer. Second thing, on the same thing, as you mentioned that internal accruals of dividend, which is in the board decision, but if you can throw some light on the brand fee, which currently is 3%, I mean, till which year does brand fee will continue or any decision will be taken on this brand fee over a period of time?
Because brand fee is not a new subject, as you know. It began in 2017. And what I can affirm, as you know, the brand Vedanta and the name is owned by Vedanta Resources, which has been formally leased to Vedanta Limited and to its subsidiaries. And right now, the current arrangement of 3% brand fee is valid till 2029, next 4 years. So 3% continues, and there is no plan to change the rate in the near future.
And last one, you can brief on the update on your Saudi project, because I know I mentioned about the CapEx on the Saudi project and what is the steps on that.
Thank you for that, Jason. You know, so we've received the strategic mineral license for Jabal Sayid Belt. That's on the exploration side, and I think that's quite exciting. I just want to give you a quick update maybe on the overall Saudi copper project. The site has an estimated exploration potential of about 25 to 30 million tons at about a 1.3 average copper grade associated with that, and about a 3 gram per ton gold. So we're quite excited about the exploration prospects there. As we've indicated, we still aim to invest a bit $2 billion in projects there. The two projects, as we've discussed previously, is the MOU that we signed for the Ministry of Investment and the Ministry of Industry and Mineral Resources to set up the 400,000 ton per annum copper smelter and refinery and the 300,000 ton copper rod project. Happy to report that on the copper rod project, we have identified the land, we have identified the EPC, that is the contractor, and we are going for final approval. On the copper smelter and refinery project, that is a longer term project, and we are still working on the feasibility study. But we will, of course, come and update you in the subsequent quarters.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vikas Singh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question pertains to slide 20. There in the debt chart, there is an other debt of 2,953 crore. So can we know what is exactly this is?
So, on the bridge, you're right, Vikas, it is a couple of components. That's right. So, maybe almost 270 odd crores is the TDS receivable from Zinc on the last payout to Vedanta Limited. It is only a timing difference. And as we pay our income tax next time, this TDS will be adjusted. The significant portion is almost 1,250 crore is a bank guarantee that we have given to NCLAC as part of our TSPL demerger. So as we earlier mentioned, for the power TSPL demerger, while seeking the stay from NCLAC, from NCLT order, Vedanta on its SEPCO matter, the creators matters, we gave to NCLAC a bank guarantee, which is a fully cash back. So 1,248 crore rupees is a bank guarantee, and the remainder is a multiple bank guarantees given to the government in terms of chain blocks, which are cash margin backed. So in summary, they are cash with Vedanta in terms of fixed deposit or cash, which has been subservient to the bank guarantees. As we augment, increase our limit for the bank guarantees, this cash will get released.
Noted, sir. So second question pertains to Hamsberg phase 2 project. Our phase 1, the promised 250 KT kind of the volumes has not come yet, despite this project has been taken up almost more than half a decade back. So just wanted to know the timeline when we are going to hit the 250 KT requirement in the phase 1. And phase 2 also entails $400 million kind of the capital cost. I thought that usually phase 2s are cheaper in terms of the same capacity addition. So if you could just give us some insight to what's happening there.
Yeah, thank you for that, Vikash. I think as we previously guided, we have had some challenges with mining, and that's primarily the reason why we've not been able to achieve both the grade as well as the volume. Happy to note, and if you look at the performance on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we're seeing in excess of 50% increases now coming out of the Hamsberg MIC, which is absolutely the right direction for us. So mining is now recovered, and not only has the mining recovered in terms of the waste stripping that we've had to do in the open pit, but we're also getting ready to stockpile for the second plant. Now, in terms of your question around the capital guidance, yes, ideally that should be the case when you're building the second phase and you're kind of using a very similar design, but a few fundamental changes. So firstly, as I mentioned on the waste stripping, we have to capitalize a lot more waste stripping for phase 2. So that's where the mining capex was slightly higher than the phase 1 capital. Secondly, on the plant, so this is where I think credit to the team on the ground, where we saw the opportunity of actually taking a 4 million ton run of mine plant 2 and actually debottlenecking it to over 10% already whilst in design. And that additional 10% has come with an increase in the plant capital cost. And so that's why the capital is slightly increased. In addition to that, and in compliance with our GSTM standards for tailings, the tailings dam associated with phase 2 does need to be better lined than the original design from 2022, and that we've incurred additional costs on the tailings dam as well. So that's the reason for the overall, I would say, cost increases, but I'm happy, and so should Ajay, that all of this is coming with some benefits, and actually today, even at LME of around 2,400, which is what the project was initially guided on, we are seeing an increase on overall IRR. So still a good project, still absolutely backing them to reach to that increase over 500,000 tons in the next 2 to 3 quarters. Thank you, Vikash.
Noted. Thank you. That's all for myself and all the best for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I think I just missed some of the detail that you gave about the parent debt. So you said it was $4.8 billion. Could you just help break this up between bonds and bank loan as well as the repayment?
Yes, sir. So out of $4.8 billion, Rashi, the bonds are about $3.1 billion. And the remainder 1.7 are the bank loans. If I look at the maturity schedule, maybe for the current fiscal, so the one quarter is behind us. We can look at the second quarter starting July to March next year, next 9 months. So debt repayment obligations almost $320 million, and the interest expenses almost $430 million. That makes $750 million in the remainder of the year. So the way we explained the it will be a mix of both refinancing and also repayment. If you look at VRL has two sources of cash. One is the branching. So $380 million has been paid in the first year, as has been the practice in the past. Secondly, in the current fiscal, our dividend payout is about 1.5% yield. Even if we assume a routine dividend of 5 to 6%, which has been par for the course in the Indian context, it means $850 million will be dividend. 380 or 400 will be the brand fee, 1.25. So mostly through internal accruals, VRL debt will be managed. That means organic deleveraging of $500 million in the current fiscal. Overall, if you look at slightly midterm picture, what VRL has in the market committed, $3 billion deleveraging over 3 years, and VEDL being an operating company, our leverage ratio from 1.3x will improve to 1x by the current fiscal.
Oh, got it. And so you've, in the first quarter, you've deleveraged by about $200 million, is it?
That's correct, by 20 odd million. You're right.
And in FY27, what is the payment schedule like?
Next year, the principal is about 760 million and the interest cost almost 450. So about 1.1 billion. And that is a very interesting question you ask. If you look at last 3 years, the principal requirement at VRL about 2 billion, interest 750, total 2.7 billion. This is the last year with Vedanta Resources where the need for cash is about 1.4 billion. Starting next year, it's about 1.1 billion. In FY28, it is sub 1 billion. So going forward, as we have earlier communicated, to a contractual branch fee, 440 million, and even a lower dividend of almost 4% yield, VRL will be managed. So both branch fee equal to interest cost, and hence operating P&L account will be self-funded. And by paying 4% dividend, the entire refinancing will be done. So dividend of 4% equals deleveraging. So in summary, about 1.1 billion requirement next year and less than 1 billion the year next.
Understood. Thank you. And is there in the demerger any delay expected beyond September?
I think as we started, I mean, we are very confident that we have the next hearing coming up on the 20th, and we will see after that what happens in terms of the in terms of the timeline. But we remain confident of a favorable outcome in both forums, as both Ajay and I have guided, and continue to progress, you know, in line with our previously shared timeline. So we still target the September-October timeline. Thank you, Rashid.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh for closing comments.
Thanks, Sagar, and thank you, everyone, for taking out the time to join us. I hope your questions have been answered. For any unanswered questions, please feel free to reach out to the IR team. We now conclude our call and looking forward to connecting with you in October with Q2 numbers. So have a wonderful rest of the day. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.